Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. I'm going to read that in just a moment, but I want us to focus on verse 10, because that's a verse that I don't think we think about as much when we think about this passage. We usually think about the first two, verses 8 and 9. We don't think quite so much about verse 10. So listen, and I will try to emphasize the right words in the right places as I read. Please stand with me. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not your own doing, it is the gift of God, not a result of works, for so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word. Please be seated and turn over to James chapter 2. Lord willing, today we are going to actually close out James chapter 2. We were quite a long time in James chapter 1 because of the various thoughts that James goes from one to the other with. But here in chapter 2, it really breaks down to more or less two messages. And we will start in verse 14 here in just a moment. But last week he reminded us, James reminded us, that if we practice favoritism in the church, that favoritism contradicts faith. And how when we do that, we are actually breaking King Jesus' royal law of loving our neighbor as ourselves. All of what James has been teaching us, going all the way back to chapter 1, verse 1, has been how we can genuinely live out our life of faith. He wants our faith to be real and pure and practical, and not, as we looked at previously, polluted, or as we'll look at today, useless. Now, as we continue here in chapter 2, we're going to see that James is really very straightforward. In fact, you might even say what we're going to see today is a bit in your face in the way he's going to show us how faith will be completed in the works that we do, or we really don't have faith at all. James chapter 2, verses 14 through 17. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if someone says he has faith but does not have works? Can that faith save him? If a brother or sister is poorly clothed and lacking in daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and filled, without giving them the things needed for the body, what good is that? So also, faith by itself, if it does not have works, is dead. James starts this section by using the form of rhetorical questions that was very common in his day, actually, in letters that would be written to use that form. And the two questions that he asks are right there in verse 14. First, he says, what good is faith without deeds? And then secondly, he says, will faith without deeds save us? The answers, of course, are that faith without deeds does no good. For either the one saying that he holds the faith, or the one to whom in faith in action could have helped by meeting their immediate needs, it does no good for neither person. And the person that says that he or she holds faith and then puts on this pious show to kind of just dismiss the needy person and push them aside from their presence is really deceiving themselves and not practicing the faith at all. James would ask, will that verbal acknowledgement of the faith followed up with some pious words saying, oh, just be blessed, you'll be fine, does not result in saving faith? James goes beyond that and he says in verse 17, that kind of faith is not alive. That kind of faith is dead. Well, James doesn't put this in the context of a worship service like he did last week. Last week when we talked about a wealthy individual coming into a service and being treated with special care versus how someone who is poor comes in as a worshiper and how they are treated in difference to the wealthy person. James is clearly confronting us with how religious ritual has absolutely nothing to do with genuine faith. The genuine faith that actually demonstrates the acts of love that are commanded by the royal law of King Jesus, that tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. Now, I know that we in the church, I know that I, and what I know of the church from 30 some years of experience has been that we in the church seem to muddy this issue. We tell people that they're saved by faith and that all they have to do is believe. But then we don't teach them that when you truly come to faith, you will actually work out your faith and you will do deeds of service. So I think lots of times we, in an attempt to get people to understand the truth of the gospel, we kind of water things down, and sometimes we think that people can be saved but not changed. And Scripture's pretty clear. James is very clear right here. If you aren't changed, you aren't saved. And we will use terms that I think muddy the water also, things like lordship salvation that doesn't necessarily make it any clearer. We don't seem to understand sometimes what we believe, and then sometimes we don't clarify what we believe. And then sometimes I think we don't take the extra time to talk to someone who has questions about the Bible where there seem to be apparent contradictions. This passage being one of them that seems to be an apparent contradiction to what the Apostle Paul would teach when it really isn't. And I think sometimes we do Jesus and his church a disservice when we don't work hard to share the truth of faith and works. Let's read verse 18. But someone will say, "You have faith, and I have works. Show me your faith apart from your works, and I will show you my faith by my works." At this point, we need to make it clear that James' teaching is in no way contradicting what the Apostle Paul would have taught. When we studied through the book of Galatians, we recognized what? That we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. That's the way we are justified. That's the way we are made right with God. There's nothing we can do to earn our salvation. Jesus did it all. But when we have received salvation, then James is saying, and we will go back to Ephesians in a moment, Paul says also, when we receive salvation, then we will be changed. We will be different. We will be working for God and showing the compassion to others that God shows. All we need to do to be saved is place our faith in Christ, and we have a right standing with God. As we've said before, James agrees with this wholeheartedly, but apparently some people will take what James is going to say next and take it out of context. Paul's focus throughout Galatians was this. His focus was how we are declared righteous. But Paul was also well aware that we needed to demonstrate our righteousness, that we have been changed, that we have been made clean, and that we are truly born again. Go back with me, if you would please, to Ephesians chapter 2 once again. Because Paul absolutely would agree with everything that James will say here in the rest of our time together this morning. James 2, 8 through 10. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It's a done deed. It happened. It's over. You were saved by faith. That's for any of us who have been. He goes on and says, and this is not your own doing, it is a gift of God. All you had to do was ask and receive the gift, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. There's nothing that any of us did to earn our salvation. But then he goes on and says, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, what? For good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Not just talk the talk, but walk the walk. Let's go back to James. James says that you cannot say you have faith and not demonstrate it. Both James and Paul would agree, and as our Sunday school lesson did, that we need to walk the walk. James 2, verse 19. This may seem like a strange verse here in the middle of what he's saying, but we'll understand it hopefully better here in just a moment. Verse 19, chapter 2 of James. You believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. Woo! Where did that come from? Okay, here's what we need to understand. James is speaking, as we've said, all going all the way back to the beginning of our study, he's speaking to a Jewish Christian audience who has been persecuted and been dispersed out from Jerusalem. So the people he's speaking to are believers in Jesus Christ, but they are Jewish. Part of their Jewish faith would be the Shema, which is the proclamation or the declaring that God is one. That goes back to Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 4. You're welcome to turn back there if you want, but for the sake of time, actually, let me just read it quickly. Deuteronomy 6 verse 4 says this, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one." And then it would go on to say, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your might." So, what is being said, what James is saying here, is that part of what a Jewish believer would do to prove their faith is a declaration or a proclamation that God is one. Very similar to what we would do, or not necessarily we in the Christian Missionary Alliance, but in part of the church would have the Apostles' Creed. And so there's a understanding of what has been done for us by God, and here's the Apostles' Creed, if by chance you don't know it. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended to the dead. On the third day, he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, and the word Catholic there just meaning universal, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. So what the apostles, what is called the Apostles' Creed, was put together by the church to say, these are the foundations of the faith. James is saying one of the foundations for you as Jewish believers in Christ was that you had to believe God is one, according to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 4. And so he says, you believe that God is one, you do well. Even the demons believe and shudder. So he uses the example that even demons have faith that God is, that God is truth, that God represents truth, and they shake. And so he's tongue in cheek saying, you say you have faith? Even demons believe and they shudder. But what good is that understanding? What good is that faith? It isn't. It's useless. It does not save them. Verse 20. Do you want to be shown, O foolish person, that faith apart from works is useless? So far in this passage, James has used the two rhetorical questions in verse 14, and then he's appealed to the reader's logic, and then he goes on and he asks, would you like some examples? Would you like some examples of faith and works working hand in hand? He says, rhetorically, do you want it? Well, he's going to give it, and he's going to give three examples. And these are his three examples: Abraham, Rahab, and a dead body. The first is Abraham. Verse 21 through 24. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? Whoa, hold it. Isn't that a contradiction to what Paul says? Doesn't Paul say we are justified by faith? Again, the apparent contradiction that if someone outside of the faith that we're sharing our faith with, we need to be able to answer what this says truthfully, logically, in a way that they can understand. So let me go back to verse 21 again. Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works, and the scripture was fulfilled that Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God. Actually, we want to end right there at verse 23, not verse 24. We'll get to 24 in just a second. I'm sure that we remember well when we were studying back through the book of Galatians that Paul stressed in Galatians chapter 3 that Abraham was justified by faith alone, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. See, Paul's focus was when Abraham believed God. When Abraham believed God, that was Genesis chapter 15 and verse 6, I believe. Yes, Genesis 15:6. That's when it says that Abraham believed God and it was counted or credited to him as righteousness. And the reason that's important is, what was that scenario? The scenario was God was speaking to Abraham and saying, no, you don't have to choose someone from your people here to be your heir. I am going to give you an heir. I am going to give you a child, even though you are past the age, you and Sarah are past the age to have a child. So Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness. Paul's focus was on when Abraham was declared righteous. James' focus now is when Abraham demonstrated his righteousness. And that's based on Genesis chapter 22, verses 9 through 10. That's in your notes if you want to turn and look at that passage sometime later this week. See, Abraham was willing to demonstrate his faith by hearing the voice of God, by going to prepare his son Isaac for sacrifice. And we know the rest of the story. We know that God intervened, God provided the ram for the sacrifice. But again, James' focus, even though he includes and says Abraham believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, his focus is not only was he declared righteous, but he demonstrated his righteousness by his deeds, by his works. In fact, James says that Abraham's faith was completed by his works. Abraham proved himself to be mature in the faith by being willing to do what God asked him to do. Verse 24 is a bit of a transitional verse from Abraham to the next passage, or the next example. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. He's going to go on, and he's going to transition now from Abraham to someone who his readers probably wouldn't expect James to be pointing to, but he is going to point to her. So let's put verse 24 and 25 together. So he's pointing back to Abraham, and now he's pointing forward to Rahab. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone, and in the same way, was not also Rahab the prostitute justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? Rahab chose to demonstrate her faith by hiding the spies. And even though her faith is unlikely, being the only person along with her family in the city of Jericho to be saved, because remember when we studied all the way back into the book of Joshua, how Rahab was the one who hid the spies. Rahab said that everyone here in the city and all those around us are shaking in fear because we have heard what you have done across the Jordan. And now we're concerned that you're going to come in and conquer us and take us too. And so she says, I know that you have and believe in the true God, and I want to follow him too. So save me and save my family. That's how she declared her righteousness. And then she demonstrated her righteousness by putting the spies in hiding. Why do you think he chose Rahab here? I think he chose Rahab because of this. Was Rahab in a position kind of just like James uses the example of someone saying, oh, you know, they have a legitimate need. They don't have food. They don't have clothing. And the pious person says to them, oh, be warm. Be well fed. Be blessed. What could Rahab have done in the situation when the spies came to her? What could she have said? Oh man, I really hope your God takes care of you. I wish you well. I hope you don't get caught. But she demonstrated her faith. She believed in God, and she demonstrated her faith by action. James' first example was Abraham. His second example was Rahab. Finally, he gives his third example, and his third example was a dead body. Chapter 2, verse 26. For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Even back then, they had the understanding that there was the body and there was the spirit. There was the material part of us, and there was the immaterial part of us, the part that we cannot see that resides in us that God created. That immaterial part, being the spirit, is what is part of, other than the blood flow and all the things and the systems that the body has to do, is part of what keeps us alive. And when God chooses and we die and the spirit leaves our body, what good is a body without a spirit? None. It's useless. It can't live. It can't walk. It can't talk. It can't do anything. And so when the immaterial part of us leaves, the body is dead. The body is going to go back into the ground. James says, for as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. Now, neither I nor James would say that living out the life of saving faith is easy. In fact, if you think about the examples that he uses throughout this passage, the example of Abraham, was it easy for Abraham? No, it was difficult. It could have been very costly for him. In fact, Abraham went places that he never expected to go. He was called to places he had never been. His saving faith required him to believe that God would somehow take care of the situation and take care of the heir that God had promised him. And in faith, he acted upon that, and he went willingly to sacrifice his son to the point of placing him upon the altar, putting the knife in his hand, raising it up, and preparing to kill his son. But God provided the need. Rahab, could she just as easily have said, you guys be safe? No, she acted upon her faith. And what she did was risky. She could have been found out and killed by those in Jericho. What she did was potentially frightening, I would think. Can you imagine being put in that situation, placing the well-being of yourself and your entire family in the hands of two people that came into your town, your walled, fortified city, and put your faith in the God who you've never seen, you've just heard of, and believing that these two representatives are representatives of God and they're going to take care of you and your family when they come to destroy your city? Their faith took action. Abraham's faith and Rahab's faith took action. And what James goes back, or what we're going to go back to and mention, is the person in the congregation who's needy. It takes action. In dealing with someone who is needy, you may have to rub elbows with someone who isn't easily spoken to and with. They're hard to have a conversation with, maybe sometimes. It may be uncomfortable. It may be inconvenient. When I counseled many years ago at the Salvation Army Drug and Alcohol Rehab, I would never, to that point in time, I would have never believed in my life that a human being could let themselves go to look like an animal, like is described by Nebuchadnezzar, going out and eating grass in the fields, nails like eagle's talons. But I saw it. I rubbed elbows with it. It wasn't easy. It was uncomfortable. It was inconvenient. But they were human beings created in the image of God, just like you and me. And they needed compassion. They needed love. They needed direction. They needed hope. And we, men and women of God, have hope. We have the hope of eternal life. And please don't take this as I'm talking down to you. I know the things that you do. I know the hams and the turkeys and the backpacks and the cups of cold water, and I know. But can we do more? Can we reach more? Can we do better? Yeah. I think we can. I think James is challenging any of us that have maybe slipped away, or maybe when we have the opportunity, our answer in our head is, oh, it's just not a good time right now. It's never a good time right now. It isn't. It's never convenient. It's never easy. It's always uncomfortable. It's always difficult. But I want you to do something. You've probably seen doctors and nurses do this, right? Take your right hand, hold your right hand up. Put your left hand out, take your right hand, put these two fingers right there. Do you feel a pulse? Everybody feel a pulse? Yeah, don't use your thumb, use your two fingers. You can find, Karen says she doesn't have a pulse. I know better. If you feel a pulse, you're alive. The body is still alive. Is our faith alive? Is our faith alive and active? Just like that pulse. Let's pray. Father, James couldn't be any clearer. If we say we have faith and we don't have works, our faith is useless. Our faith is dead. Lord, I don't want anyone leaving here feeling condemnation today, but if there needs to be conviction in any of us, including me, Father, bring that by your Holy Spirit, we pray. Help us to be salt and light. Help us to be the hands and feet of Jesus, and help our faith to be alive and active. Let us love our neighbor as ourselves and fulfill the royal law of Jesus. We pray in his name. Amen.